Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
Welcome back here to the shores of El Pacifico, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we are here till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And we're also online at philhendryshow.com. Live streaming video of our show, a video cast that is compatible with your iPhone, your iPad, many of your Droid, and all like that, you know. And I think you dig that very, very much.
Is that your homage to people saying y'all?
No, it's just I like that kind of talking, I guess. I like that southern drawl thing. We do have coming up this hour, Herb Sewell is going to be talking with us about telecommuting. And what?
Why do we have that man?
Just never mind. We're going to have Herb Sewell on. And Herb is, yes, Herb was imprisoned for child molestation. And
Herb was in prison for child molestation, and now he's going to be talking about telecommuting. Do you understand, Phil, that this is tasteless?
Yeah, a lot of people think, you know.
Well, I mean, it's too late now. What are you talking about? I've had the guy on a million times. A million times that guy has been on the show talking about things.
Yes, he's on the show talking about crime and the crime that he was incarcerated, by the way, in a hospital for the criminally insane. The criminally insane. So in that instance, yes. But to have him on talking about something as pedestrian as telecommuting is an abomination before God and man.
Hey, very good, Mr. Green.
Thank you.
Wait, so let me ask you a question. Since when are you applauding? And
I think that there are times when I'm able to put an exclamatory phrase.
No, that's exclamatory. Yeah.
Oh, is it? You guys know what exclamatory? What does exclamatory mean? Huh, Robert? What does it mean? Bud?
It has to do with going to the bathroom.
Everything with you has to do with going to the bathroom.
No, but exclamatory means a very striking and very important phrase, one that lends weight to the statement that came before it. Exclamatory. See?
Yeah, it's sort of.
Never mind, okay? So it's an exclamatory phrase, and he applauds. All to what end? But Herb Sewell is on the show. Because he does telecommute, because he does live in a halfway house. Yes, he's a criminal.
Yes, he's a criminal. Yes, he was a child molester. But we have him on because he'll tell us about telecommuting.
Well, I mean, the guy's on now. I don't know. You know what, Margaret? I'll have you take that up with him.
I don't want to talk to scum like that. Thank you very much. I'm going to the toilet.
Hey.
That is not exclamatory, bud.
You said it's going to the toilet.
It's not got anything to do with going to the toilet. Exclamatory. Exclamatory.
As opposed to excretory or whatever.
Yeah, just go ahead, Margaret.
I beg your pardon.
Get out of here. God. So, welcome to the show. I mean, like, there's never a show, welcome to the show that tries to get off the ground and never does, because we got 85 million people sitting in here telling me how to do it, when to do it, and why I'm doing it. What's exclamatory mean? Going to the bathroom?
Yeah, every time, man, you always say that. Because that's a lot of the stuff we talk about.
Well, I'll give you a point there, bud. You're right. It's what we're talking about. In any event, welcome to the program. So get a backstage pass, philhendryshow.com. It's philhendryshow.com. El Cheapo Reno, baby, $9.95. You can't ask for all of the stuff that we have, over 5,000 hours of audio and over 10 years worth of radio shows for $9.95 a month. You got to be putting me on, Hendry. Have you gone mad? I feel like, what's the guy, Madman Muntz, back in the day when he talked about, I'm giving away these stereos for this? I must be nuts! And we're going to start doing commercials like that. Madman Hendry. $9.95, man. We're cheaper than, we've got more content than Sirius XM, and that ain't no lie, man. We got more content on this website than Sirius XM has got, and they charge, what, $15 a month?
I don't know. I didn't see my bill lately.
You didn't see your bill? You mean you got
Yeah, you got one. You got a subscription? Yeah, I got a subscription to it, only on account of they have NASCAR.
They got Fox.
Well, I mean, they got NASCAR.
Yeah, that's what carries it, Fox. What about you, Robert?
I don't know. I'm thinking maybe I do. I have the NFL.
You have the NFL that on Sirius?
Well, on TV.
on TV. That's not serious.
What do you mean serious?
S-I, serious.
Oh, no, I got the NFL.
That's not serious. That's the NFL. What do you have serious?
I got the NFL.
The NFL, dude, if you're watching on television, it's probably DirecTV.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, then you don't have SiriusXM and he does.
I know I got Sirius. I don't know about XM.
It's the same thing, man. God. All right, so that, oh, man, I'm winded after that. So you have SiriusXM. You don't. Any plans on getting it?
I don't know. Maybe. Maybe not.
Yeah.
What do you mean, yeah?
Same with me.
I thought you got SiriusXM.
Well, I do, but about the NFL package.
I didn't ask you about the NFL package. What is wrong with you guys? I'm having you both into the hospital, okay?
I don't want to go to the hospital, man.
I don't care if doctors scare you. I need you both you guys to get brain x-rays. I swear to God, man. I just do. All right. Marissa Meyer might be a trendsetter. Marissa Meyer, as you know, is the CEO at Yahoo. And she is the executive who caused a great deal of kerfuffle and upset and contretemps last week when she said, guess what? All of that telecommuting that you jive-ass monkeys have been doing, all you monkeys are coming in now. No monkeys work from home.
Did you say monkey?
No, but she might as well have. She might as well have because, you know, that's what she's saying. She's basically saying, you, all of you out there, all members of the Lago Volunteers, all you monkeys are coming in. No more mugs staying home and working at home. Now, that's what she said, and that's what, that's the punchline to a joke. That's what she said, and you better believe that's what she said. And her name's Marissa Meyer. But over at Best Buy, they're taking her idea, and they're a little bit more flexible. Best Buy is now the next big company to say that they're altering the telecommuting plans, the telecommuting schedule of their employees, but Best Buy said that some of the 4,000 non-store employees who took advantage of its work-from-home program still may be able to telecommute or set flexible schedules, but as of Monday, they'll no longer have the freedom to make those decisions without a manager as they had in the past. So what they're doing at Best Buy is they're now vetting, if we may use that word, that ugly word from the from campaign political campaigns past. They're vetting all of these decisions through managers. So you can't just say, oh, I think I'll, you know, work this time or that. You done?
Yes, I'm done. Do you have to make an announcement when I come back from the toilet?
No, but
I wanted to just jump in. First of all, I think it is absolutely ruinous and destructive of Best Buy at this late stage of the game to insert their corporate busybodiedness, I know that's not a word, into the home schedules of mothers, of young mothers, the very delicate feeding schedules of infants, the delicate schedules when you have children at home and you're working from home, you're potty training, you're breastfeeding, there's an awful lot filled. You're diaper changing. If Best Buy is prepared to turn their stores, their business, into a large nursery where there are infants having their diapers changed, where there are women exposing themselves to breastfeed, where there is any number of things going on, then have at it, Best Buy. But the stink, and yes, allow me to finish, Phil. No, not to. The stink, the offense to religiously sensitive people, the...
Well...
No, hold on. The... Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
No, I don't know what you mean. You brought up potty changing...
Potty changing? What kind?
Yeah, I mean, you brought up potty training, right?
Yes, potty training, diaper changing, and breastfeeding. Those three things. The stink, the quizzical looks on the infant's on the little people's faces as they wander the store looking for their mother, wondering, should I flush? What did I just do? And then, of course, women everywhere with breasts.
Yeah. Women everywhere with breasts. Well, there's a shocker.
Yeah, no kidding. Like what? You figured that they all had a Dasvet or a Danmectomy or however you say it.
A what?
Talk about a mastectomy.
What has that got to do with anything, bud?
Yes.
Well, she said women, you said women with breasts, and she's all surprised about it.
You know something, bud? Don't make any jokes about breast cancer, okay? Or I'm going to kick your ass so hard, man, that whatever the field goal record is for the NFL, I will have shattered it because I didn't do it with a football. I did it with a dumbass, which weighs probably, I don't know how much heavier. And yet still, I will smash that record by 4 yards.
So you're saying that you will 67 yards?
Yes, a 67-yard field goal kicking Bud's ass through the uprights.
You're on. How much you got?
I got $10.
Don't bet now. What are you guys? Are you actually putting money on it?
Are you kidding me?
Don't bet now. We'll be right back. Will we be right back? Yes, we'll be right back. Maybe we won't be right back. Maybe this is it, man. No, we're coming back here with Herb Sewell, forgive me, and also Bobby Dooley to talk about the Jay Moore interview she'll be doing next week on the Bobby Dooley Podcast. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
I don't want to get into an argument with it.
You won't get into an argument.
All right, because, you know, I hate her guts.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and, of course, online at philhendryshow.com. And we're going to bring on line now a very controversial guest, a gentleman we've had on our program many times, Herb Sewell. And you can talk with Herb if you want, Margaret. Herb, how are you?
I'm doing good, Phil. Thank you for having me on the program. And I certainly do welcome Ms. Gray's comments. I do welcome a civil debate with her.
Well, can I say something?
Phil, I would like you, if I may...
Yeah, let Herb open up with his comments.
I have something I'd like to say.
And Mr. Hendry, I think, has already stated his decision on that, and I would defer to Mr. Hendry as the host of the program.
You know, you sound so cultured, and you're really nothing more than garbage. You know that, right?
Yes, Margaret, of course. You know, you remind me of Mother. You really do.
And I hope that because I remind you of Mother, that I'm never within 100 yards of you at any given time, because I fear what you might have done to her.
That is the kind of comment that in the past, yes, would have meant a violent response from me. But I'm better than that now. And for you to insinuate that I did anything violent to Mother is absolutely wrong. It is erroneous. I never laid a hand on Mother, but I can assure you she laid hands on me. And the end result of that was my time at Atascadero.
Oh, that's right. Let's blame your mother for all of the horrible things that you did.
I'm not saying that it is the sole reason. There's no saying, Ms. Gray, something you should keep in mind as you raise that young one of yours, Jason Delmonico, or whatever the name is, the bizarre name you've given that boy.
All right, now you hold it right there.
No, I'm going to finish what I'm going to say. Something to keep in mind. There's an old saying in psychiatry, if it's not one thing... then it's your mother, okay?
Well, I haven't heard that. That's a good one.
That's pretty good, Mr. Sewer.
Thank you very much. If it's not one thing, and by the way, my name is Sewell. Sewell. Was that Dickman that said that?
Bud?
Yeah, well, I said Mr. Sewer. Sorry, Mr. Sewell.
It's Sewell. Sewell. S-E-W-E-L-L.
We get it already, Herb.
No, we don't. You might, but he didn't, and I'm talking to him now. You have a very, very irritating habit, Margaret, of butting in wherever you feel like. That's why I wonder whether your son is safe as he showers and his mother isn't kicking the door down, running in with her house coat wide open, no underwear.
You know something? Either you hang up on this animal or I am leaving right now.
You're not leaving, Margaret. I told you that this is the game, okay?
I've got a great idea. Why don't you go into the bathroom and fiddle with yourself as you...
You know something? I swear to God, Sewell, there's the only thing that's keeping you safe is this telephone line.
Well, you could go through the phone line like so many of Phil's guests have.
No, I don't stoop to that level. I don't stoop to the level of crawling through the fiber optics, etc. But I'm going to the toilet, and you can fantasize about that.
No, you're the one that'll be doing the fantasizing.
I got to tell you something, Margaret, before you go in there.
Yes?
All of that was unnecessary. I mean, you knew that he was going to come on. You could have kept your mouth shut, you know.
No one tells Margaret Gray to keep her mouth shut. Thank you.
Well, that I believe. That I believe. There's no question no one tells her to keep her mouth shut.
All right. Well, that was an explosive beginning.
Well, it was one that I anticipated. I had no doubt that, you knew it, but with Helga there was are you listening to me in the bathroom there, Margaret, or are you fiddling about in there?
You're an animal. You're nothing more than an animal. You do not warrant any response from me. Why would I respond to you any more than I would respond to a catfish? I hate you.
Is she in the bathroom?
She's yelling through the door, yeah.
Why don't you continue your business in the bathroom, Ms. Gray, and not yell through the door, because that way we can at least not be thinking about the disgusting things you do in there. Now, Phil...
Listen, give me the microphone.
Margaret?
No, give me... Herb, I'm going to find out where you are, and when I do, I will have pickets.
No, I'm not telling you, because that is exactly what we're trying to avoid. And by the way, I've registered as a sex offender with the local authorities.
I'll find you, and when I find you, God...
Just take it easy, will you? All right, Herb, we're going to be talking about telecommuting here.
Yeah, that's what we're going to talk about. That was my understanding. I didn't know that we were going to have to deal with Ms. Gray.
All right, let's not talk about her. She's sitting there very quietly. Let's talk about...
What is this on your television? I'm looking at... it looks to me as if there's a fire behind you or something like that. Did you see that?
Yeah, we have, well, somehow that we got a different green screen. I apologize. Let's just go back. All right. So, telecommuting. Now, today, the announcement was made by Best Buy that they are going to allow their employees to continue to telecommute, but they're going to allow them to telecommute only with the approval of managers. So, where they used to make their own schedules, they're not making it anymore. What do you think of that?
Well, it would not be workable for me. It would not be workable for me, and I'll tell you why. You know, I don't want to hit this one too hard, but I have a very specific schedule that I've worked out for myself. And what I do is I wake up in the morning, I do research for your listeners out there.
Yeah, are you looking at pictures of little boys?
Margaret, will you just can it?
That was uncalled for. And I can assure you, Ms. Gray...
You can assure me what? What can you assure me?
That I'm a gentleman, but were you to show up at my doorstep with some of your neighbor friends and some of the neighborhood wenches and witches and bitches with their signs and their cuckolded husbands, which I'm sure yours is one.
How dare you? My husband's an attorney, by the way, so I would very much have a care if I were you.
I couldn't care. Frank Gray is a degenerate entertainment attorney. I could tell you stories. Yeah.
No, you know something, Phil? I'll sue him.
I want you to be quiet and let him talk.
Thank you, Phil.
I mean, all of this is starting, Margaret, because you got a problem with him being a guest on the show. I made the decision. He's on the show. I made the decision. It's out of your hands now.
Fine.
Ms. Gray just trying to have the opinion.
Who was that?
That was Bud.
Hey, Bud, this is Herb Sewell, not Sewer, Sewell. And I just think that you're safer keeping your big trap shut, too.
Yeah, well...
Yeah, well, what?
Nothing.
You know what you guys are doing? I know what you're doing. You're trying to make this so much of a mess that I just say, thanks, Herb, get lost.
That's exactly what's happening.
All right, then I'm not going to let that happen. He's going to comment on this, and then we'll be done. Go ahead, Herb.
All right. Now, no one would dare change my schedule, no one, without my authorization and my sole authorization. That means I don't have a manager that I have to go to say, oh, sir, can I change my telecommuting schedule? And the reason why they wouldn't do that is because there's a very specific fear that they have when it comes to me, and that is that I might snap their neck with my bare hands. Now, let me just finish, Phil.
Now, you know, Herb, I've just had two people here that I've just told to shut up because they kept up bringing up your criminal past, and now here you are.
No, no, that's not my criminal past. That's the natural reaction of any man who has a schedule that he wants to keep. That's the natural reaction of any man that has a schedule that he wants to keep.
That they're going to snap someone's neck.
That would be my reaction because, and I know that I'm not normal, and then we can get into that, and Ms. Gray, I'm sure, has her opinion on that. But I will say this. If someone tells Herb Sewell that he's changing his schedule, a very, very specific schedule that he has worked out, with himself and only himself and his creator, and someone says, I'm going to change your schedule, Herb Sewell, I will break them in half with my bare hands. And the body parts? Good luck. Good luck finding them. Good luck identifying them when you find them. And good luck ultimately finding out who they belong to. That's how much into my schedule I am. Now,
all right, hold on. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, Herb Sewell talking about telecommuting.
Do you see the criminal that he is?
Margaret, if you don't shut up, we'll be right back. All right, so thank you to Herb Sewell. Are you happy?
Yes, I think, you know, Phil, you're right. It is your show, but having that animal on...
You know what? So we're done. That's all it was going to be was 15 minutes. I mean, you guys didn't need to make a big deal. You guys cut into that interview, you know.
Yeah, well, no, ma'am. I mean, you know, you deserve every criticism you get when you start talking like my... Like you got lockjaw or something.
He doesn't have lockjaw. He's sputtering and spitting because he can't believe what he just witnessed.
Oh, no, he isn't. Bud can't find the word because he can never find the word. The fact is you guys were running your big fat yaps through half of that, so Herb only got about 7 minutes, but he got out what he wanted to say, which is basically this. If you try to change his telecommuting schedule, he will cut you up and leave you scattered across the four corners of the earth.
Spoken like a serial killer.
Yeah, well, I think he was basically saying that would probably put him back in prison. So I would suggest that nobody change Herb's schedule.
Well, that it...
Oh, take it easy, will you, Margaret? I'm gonna change the world. You know, if he was sitting here right now...
Yeah, you'd probably crap a brick.
You dirty...
Hey!
Watch it, huh?
No one refers to me doing that in brick form.
Hey! I'm just saying, you're just like everybody else. You pee yellow like everybody else.
Okay, will ya?
I swear, Phil, I will turn into the female version of Herb Sewell. Do you want to see that, bud? Huh?
Why is she smiling?
Why am I smiling? Because it feels good to say it. That's right.
Easy, Margaret. God, you look like you're going to lose it.
What you just put me through, you say one more thing like... I'll crap a brick or I pee yellow like everyone else, and so I'll be all over you like stink on you-know-what.
What?
Just anything that stinks. What do you mean, what?
Stink on you-know-what.
Yeah, what?
Anything, what?
Well, you don't have to explain it to him, okay?
This is what frustrates me.
All right, so you're frustrated. So take it. Stink on crap, okay?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Boy, you people, I mean...
She said you people. That's not the first time.
I don't mean you people, you black people. I mean you particularly dumb black people. It's not the same thing.
Oh, I see. So you particularly dumb black people. What do you say to you particularly dumb white people?
I don't understand.
Yeah, you're being racist. See, that's racism.
Yeah, it is right there.
I told you I'm a liberal. I can't be racist. I don't know how many times... Some people are so simple-minded.
You people are simple-minded.
Do you mean Jews?
Are you Jewish?
No, but my husband is. So do you mean Jews?
No, I mean you rich white women.
Well, that's not necessarily Jewish.
I'm not talking about Jews. I'm talking about...
Yeah, he's talking about yous.
Give me five.
Yeah.
Get out of here with the gimme five. Why don't you guys take this seriously for 5 seconds, okay? I got rid of Herb. He's done. He should have been accorded a little more courtesy. I understand you don't like what he did. Okay, he should be back in prison. Fine, we'll do something about that. Maybe somebody will attempt to change his telecommute schedule, and he'll kill that person, and he'll be a serial killer again, and he'll go back to prison. But until that time, and maybe I made a bad mistake. Maybe I made a judgment call that I shouldn't have made. Maybe Herb should never be on the show unless it's about something having to do with those crimes. I'm sorry, but I did it. We were committed, and it didn't have to be all that bad.
It was bad, let me tell you.
So anyway, making a long story short, that's the story at Best Buy. Now, we want to get on the phone here, and we're very excited to have on the phone here Bobby Dooley, as today she interviewed the great Jay Mohr. Jay, a comic of great repute, and also is hosting his own daily sports show on the Fox Radio Network. And Bobby Your podcast is doing very, very well from what I hear. What are you hearing?
Well, Phil, we're doing great. I'm very excited. Steve, what did we...
Probably about 50,000 or so.
Well, the first month, I think we had 50,000 downloads.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, we're very gratified. We're looking to get the download, and I have to say that Steve has been a great help to me. He was a little bit difficult today, weren't you, honey?
I didn't know about it.
Well, we asked Steve to get us coffee. Jay came in. He's a wonderful man. He has two sons, and we talked about when he said he had two sons, and I asked him, well, how many is that? And that seems like an obvious question, doesn't it? But...
If you say I've got two sons, how many is that?
Yeah, but I was testing myself as well as Jay. I was trying to see, could I get out of asking a stupid question?
No, I thought it was dumb.
I didn't ask you, Steve. I didn't ask you at all, and I'll do it. So I asked the dumb... When he said I have two sons, I said, how many is that? And then I kept a straight face, and he said, that's two. And I said, all right, thank you. So I knew that I had made a mistake, but I made it look like to Jay that I was smarter than he thought. And so that's always a win-win, you know? You know, Phil?
Yeah, that's good. So I said,
okay.
What did you say?
It isn't what I said, dear. It's what he said.
No, but you said...
Oh, yeah, I said, how many sons do you have?
Yes, that's what I want. You said, how many sons do you have? What did Jay say?
And Jay said, I have two. And I said, how many is that? And he said, that's two. I said, thank you. We're talking with Jay Moore.
See, that's brilliant. That's a very good way of saving it and moving on and no one notices.
That's exactly. And you know something, Margaret? More broadcasters should get that. Don't point out the mistake. Just move on.
All right. So good save. And how did it go after that? I imagine it went very well.
Oh, it went delightfully. Jay is a delightful. And you know something, Phil? You were referencing the second half of the interview. It will be a two-parter. The Bobby Dooley the Bobby Dooley podcast. Jay in the second half was just delightful. It was just delightful. I won't give away all of what was said, but it entailed him and seven of his friends and me with my face pressed against the vinyl of the back seat of a cab. And you can well imagine, it was very zany.
Say that again.
What do you want me to say again?
Well, you just said that the second part, and you don't want to give anything away, but it involved Jay and seven of his friends.
Yes, and me.
And you, seven of his male friends?
Yes.
Yes, seven of his male friends, and my face pressed against the vinyl of the backseat of a filthy cab. So he's very zany.
He's very zany, huh?
That sounds apt.
No. It's a zany. I just want you to be ready for it. It's going to be a lot of fun.
The Bobby Dooley podcast, that's coming up next week. What's up this week, Bobby?
Sugar Ray Leonard on.
And he is the boxer, right?
Yeah, he boxed.
By the way, Bobby, somebody had said, and it's not a big deal, you had tweeted that our guest this week is Sugar Ray Leonard.
Yes.
And you said he boxed B-O-X-T.
Is that a misspell?
It is, dear. It's B-O-X-E-D.
Oh, Steve. It's a misspell.
On a box. But he got boxed.
I know he didn't get boxed. He did box. But it's not B-O-X. I'm telling Steve right now. Phil, can you hold on?
Okay.
He did box. He boxed. B-O-X-D. Is that right?
No, B-O-X.
B-O-X-E-D, dear.
B-O-X-E-D. Margaret?
Yes.
Yes, she does know. She's a writer.
Yeah, tell Steve he's an imbecile. I'm a journalist.
You're an imbecile, Steve. She's a journalist.
What?
Never mind. We'll correct it, Phil.
Well, I just wanted you to know. So, Sugar Ray Leonard, huh?
Sugar Ray Leonard on Friday. He was wonderful, and Sugar Ray Leonard comes from a very large family. He has a large family right now. I think I mentioned to you that he was elected because I told him that I was president of the Homeowners Association. And Sugar Ray Leonard lives in the same neighborhood with Anthony Hopkins. And I said, well, what's that like? And he said, I don't care. And then he said he was elected mayor of his neighborhood. And I said, well, that's exciting. He said, yes.
So he didn't care that Anthony Hopkins is on the same street.
No, he's Sugar Ray Leonard. He's one of the greatest prize fighters what has ever lived. And so why would he care about Anthony Hopkins, you know?
Well, I think that Anthony Hopkins would be very exciting.
Anthony Hopkins is exciting. But when you're Sugar Ray Leonard and you were the heavyweight, or not the heavyweight.
I told you, he's not a heavyweight.
Steve, don't yell at me, okay?
All right, I told you, though. He's a feather.
No, he's not a feather. He's a middleweight.
What?
He's a middleweight. He was a welterweight and I believe a middleweight.
Well, he's a welterweight.
Welterweight. Yeah, that's it.
No, he was a welterweight, then became a middleweight. I think he shifted between those two weight classes. Nonetheless, Sugar Ray Leonard coming up on Friday, and then Jay Moore next week, and you anticipate that'll be a two-parter.
Oh, I think it'll be a two-parter because Jay was just delightful, and again, he's got two little boys, and you can tell he loves his children very much. And he just told us all about the comedy and how the comedy and stuff. And a lot of stuff he told us about.
Okay, Jay Moore on the Bobby Dooley podcast next week. Outstanding, Bobby. Thank you very much.
And I just want, Bobby?
Yes?
Who else do you, because I want to put a blurb in the column, who else is on the horizon that you know of?
Then we have Kevin Pollak, is that right?
Yeah, I got Kevin Pollak, and then Kevin Pollak.
Well, we have Kevin Pollak.
Yeah, and then Kevin Pollak. Wow, you're right.
Steve is Steve was a real problem today because he fell against a tree and hurt his eye, so he looked ghoulish as he was serving coffee with an oozing eye. And I said, Steve, your eyeball is rolled up into your head. And he tried to do some, you know, House on Haunted Hill impression. He went, ooh, ooh. What did you do, honey?
Ooh.
Yeah, he tried to scare Jay Moore, and it didn't. No, it didn't.
Yes.
No, it didn't. No, it didn't. No, it didn't. Okay? I said it, I had to threaten to take my high heel off.
Oh my God, you're kidding.
No, I said, I will bury the heel of this in the bad eye. The eye that's oozing, I will do it.
Hey, shut up. Quit it.
Yeah, and he started to cry like that.
All right, Bobby, I don't want to, we've had so many domestic disputes on this show. Thank you very much. We're looking forward to the Bobby Dooley podcast this week. When Sugar Ray Leonard drops on Friday, and then next week with Jay Moore, and currently on iTunes and other places is the second part of your Joel McHale.
Yes, and Joel is Joel McHale. He's a great, great star, great, great man, and a very, very funny man, and we had a lot of fun with Joel McHale.
All right. Bobby Dooley. Thanks, Bobby.
Goodbye, dear. I'll call you later.
Okay, Marvin.
And there's Bobby Dooley and her podcast. With Jay Moore next week. Sounds really exciting. Then Kevin Pollak, who is a great guy.
Well, Kevin Pollak interviewed you.
I was on Kevin's chat show. That's a fantastic show. And, you know, there's another guy. See what I mean about humility? I really mean this. There's a guy who's a bona fide star. He's been on in film. He's been on television. He's got a great stand-up career. And on top of everything else, Kevin Pollak is a world-class poker player. How good can a guy be? You know what I'm saying?
You're kidding me, right? He played poker on the money and everything?
That's why you play poker, for money, yeah. Wow.
What do you think they play poker for?
You can play for cigarettes.
In jail, yes, but in the real world. So here's a guy, Kevin Pollak, he's funny as hell, I think he's a fine actor, he's a terrific performer, and then the guy is a great poker player on top of that. I mean, it's, you know, some cats have just got the knack. But on top of everything else, he does this interview show, and he interviews guys like me. He interviews mugs like me. You'd figure it'd be the other way around.
Yeah, you would think you'd be interviewing him.
Exactly. Well, Bobby's going to interview him, so I guess...
You ought to interview him instead of having Bobby do it.
Bobby got there first, but I can tell you, in being interviewed by Kevin Pollak, the thing that struck me was how, again, how self-effacing, how interested he is in other people, interested he is in other performers, interested he is in other comics, interested in he's got a bona fide real interest in people. And I think that's just something that you got to have in life. And it all comes from having a good, you know, solid, humble view of yourself.
Well, it's having your feet on the ground. It's having your feet on the ground. And, you know, Casey Kasem used to say, he used to close out his show, keep your feet on the ground, keep reaching for the stars, and until you get the one you want, you listen to KRLA. Well, that's when he was on KRLA. It was...
How do you know that?
Well, you told me.
Yeah, he did. That was when he was on KRLA. Then when he was on American Top 40.
Yes, he'd say, keep your feet on the ground, keep reaching for the stars, and until you get the one you want, it's American Top 40. I forget what it was.
No, it was until you get the one you want. I don't know. You get the one you want.
Yeah, until you get the one you want, then you get the one that you want.
That is so retarded.
I don't want that word used ever again on this show, please. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Thank you very much, Bobby, for giving us a view there into the marvelous world of the Bobby Dooley podcast, dropping next week with Jay Mohr, this week with Sugar Ray Leonard. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Here, the world famous Phil Hendry Show. You know, I know what's going to happen as I get older and I begin to enter into those golden years where, you know, there's retirement going on. And like a lot of guys that are, you know, suddenly have a lot of free time, I know what's going to happen to me. I'm going to be like Bob Barker, you know.
Well, what? You're going to tell people don't wear leather?
No, I'm going to be out there yakking about zoos. Because that's becoming something that is driving me nuts. I can't stand the thought of them. I can't stand looking at them. I can't stand hearing about them. When I hear of a human being attacked or killed at a zoo, I feel bad for the person. I feel worse for the animal for some reason. I just do. And the more I think about zoos, the more I realize there isn't one good reason for these things to exist. I can't personally, I don't know about anybody else, I don't like seeing something in a cage. You know, something in a cage that didn't really do anything to belong in that cage other than just be walking down the road one day and, I think we'll just take that one and put him in a cage. And, hi. Now, I'm not saying that animals have human rights. I'm not saying any of that stuff. I'm talking about, see, one of the things that people don't understand, when we talk about, like, the humane society, what are we talking about? We're talking about treating animals better so that our humanity is not degraded, so that we are not suddenly inhuman, you know, or ahuman, you know.
What's that mean?
Like not human, but not anything else. We would be a new species of some kind of deviant thing. We wouldn't be an animal, because animals act on instinct, act out of self-preservation, the need of nourishment, you know, the need of comfort, the need of shelter. Animals act out of logical instinct, if we can call instinct logical. But humans, when humans are violent and when humans behave the way they do, we are humans, so we have this thing called free will and choice, and it can be warped by certain experience. And the next thing you know, we are serial killers, or we like to inflict pain just for kicks. We're doing things that there's no real precedent in the world of nature. So zoos, to me, started out, I can understand why we had them. I mean, we started out with zoos. Oh, look at this. Here's an animal I've never seen before. It's a fascinating animal. Let's bring it over to the zoo and people will see it. See?
Well, that's the whole reason, Phil. The educational value.
All right. Now hold on for a minute. The educational value. The educational value of what? So some kid can come and look and see, look, right there is a giraffe. Oh, that's a giraffe. Yeah, okay, bye. Now the kid goes home and watches TV and shoves more milk duds into his face. And
well, that is degrading the child by associating the child with the milk dud, which has been done before, and degrades the giraffe by saying the giraffe.
Can we get to it this week? Because I had some things I wanted to say.
What an ass. Boy, that's too bad.
Yeah, that's right. I don't care about the kid degrading. I could care. There's nothing degrading to the kid. You want the kid to see a giraffe? We got books. There's photographs. And someday the kid can get on it, up off his ass and fly to Africa and see a giraffe. For the comfort and the so-called educational value. Look, I know that there are some kids that want to see giraffes because maybe someday they're going to be zoologists. There's a very, very, you know, there's a real educational value for people that want to work with animals. I get it. For the casual individual to just stroll by and see a giraffe, while it is an amazing sight, and as humans, you know, we're so bloody important, and I recognize that we are important, but we're not so important when it comes to inflicting discomfort or pain. That's what I'm talking about. That's when our importance ends.
You're not inflicting no pain on a giraffe. He's just standing there.
Is the giraffe where he's from?
I don't know. Where's he from?
Africa.
If it's a zoo in Africa.
Yeah. Oh, get out of here. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show. It looks like I'm going to have to spend a whole 6 days talking about this. The zoos in Africa.
Phil Henry.